They want every Jew
to be make other Jews what, to be angry.
Okay, we're going to review the words of Rav Kook, and then we'll go to Yehuda. Yef shar la'adam Yisrael. Masur v'ne'eman l'machshav osav, hegyon osav, rayon otav, dvidinyon otav, b'chutz la'aretz. Kitchunat ha'ne'emanut hazot v'eretz Yisrael. It is impossible for a Jewish person to be devoted and ne'eman and reliable to his thoughts, hegyon otav, we're going to dissect all these words, his higayon, his comprehension, ra'ayonotav, his ideas, v'dimyonotav, and his imagination outside of Israel, like tchunat, the aspect of this reliability in Eretz Yisrael. In a sense, what he's really saying, and Rabbi Yehuda will explain, is that a person cannot be true to himself. A Jew cannot be true to himself in the way he thinks and the way he processes information, and you know, and the ideas that he has, and the imagination he has. In Chuslar, it's the same way a Jew can be in Eretz Yisrael. It's almost like Havdil. So there was a person in the community. I got a call to go see her. She was in the hospital. So I went to see her. She was still in the emergency room. She said she got an infection or whatever it was. She couldn't breathe. So you put in the oxygen, all of a sudden you can breathe. Why? Because your body needs oxygen. So in a sense, a Jew needs the spiritual environment of Israel in order to breathe, in order to react the way a Jew is supposed to react. And without it, you're not going to be true to yourself, true to your true nature. Okay. You don't have to write me notes. You can say something.
No, it's off topic. I don't forget for later.
Oh, yeah. I was going to remind you about that. Okay. Hofa'ot HaKodesh. Be'ezo Madriga Shehem. Okay. The Hofa'ot, appearance, or manifestations of holiness at whatever level. Yukiyot him Eretz Yisrael afi ha'arech. In Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, they are cleaner. In Chutz La'aretz, and outside, they're mixed in with chaff, with klipos. How do you translate klipos? With shells, in a sense. With husks. Right. So it's impure. There's an impurity to a person's spirituality or ideology or thought or whatever you want to say. Amnam, yet, if you go to Hachuka Vakishor Shaladam Eretz Yisrael, the greater a person's connection and desire, Harevayon Hatav Mizdakikin, Yisod Avira de Eretz Yisrael, his ideas are purified from the principle, the fundamental principle of the air of Eretz Yisrael, Hachofet Balkom Bishimachapeli Rota, that surrounds anyone who mitzapeh desires and expects to see it. Simchu et Yerushalayim v'yidu v'kol ha'avera, you should rejoice in Jerusalem, all those who love her. Meaning, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, then you can be true to yourself, mm-hmm. Right? And the manifestations of holiness that you're going to achieve out in Israel are very different than manifestations of holiness you're going to achieve outside of Israel. Same person. It's just better, more appropriate environment for those manifestations.
Is he talking in his time, or is he
anytime.
Talking during the gullus, in the darkest
time? Anytime.
All right.
Anytime. A Jew is more Jewish in the way he thinks, in the way he acts, in the way he relates, in everything, in Eretz Yisrael, than he is here. Here it's all mixed in. It's impure. It's unfiltered. And there it's filtered. He says, but if you're stuck here in Chutz La'aretz, the greater your desire and your connection to the land of Israel, the more purity you're going to achieve. Somehow, you can transplant that environment and make it more tangible here if you have that desire, if that's what you want. Okay? Again, it's a little hard to quantify, but it's like, it's one of those things that you have to you just either accept it or you don't. You know? We won't ask you if you do or not.
People don't have a problem when you say Avir Dark Yisrael Mach.
What does it mean?
Oh, but you hear everybody.
Avir Dark Yisrael Mach, the Gemara says, the land of Israel makes you smarter. The air in Israel makes you smarter.
I don't know that it means factually air or it's metaphorically speaking that a person can achieve a greater understanding.
Why? Take the same person. So now I ask you this. You take the same person, you put him in a room, and he's going to learn for 10 years. Would it make a difference if he learned for 10 years in Utah or 10 years in Ashdod. Same room, no one's talking to for 10 years.
So basically,
same
that,
books.
Yes. It's when all things being equal,
it is
better to be in Israel. All things not being equal, have a gola l'makom Torah. Then you are even allowed to leave.
Excuse me, what's the rest of that Mishnah?
Also for marrying and for other things.
No. It says, it says you should go to a makom shebubo akum in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to going to a makom shebubo Yisrael in Chutz Laaretz.
And at the same time, you're allowed to leave if you have your Rebbe wherever you can go. And Lisa Isha for Parnassa and...
That washed at some point when a person couldn't find a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael.
I'm not going to talk about whether you can today. But the concept was there.
Why you all of a sudden gravitate to excuses? Just take your photographs. Okay. Mekomenu HaTivi, our natural place. Hadarim HaKodimim, the things we learned beforehand, Hayu Yesodiyim, they were fundamental, Klaliyim, general. Klal Yahadutiyim, right, broadly Jewish. Klal Umiyim, national, generally national issues. He's got to come upon me that Bituyosha Lamaral, we mentioned a number of times the phrase of the Maral, Mekomenu HaTivi, our natural place. Okay? Zu Uvdak, Kol Yisrael, that's a fact that includes all the Jewish people. Et HaUmah, the nation, Et HaTorah, Et HaShchina, right, the Torah, the presence of God. The natural place is Eretz Yisrael. Kol Elu, Bituyim Shonim, Lo Torah. These are all different phrases for the same idea. Kan HaTivi Yuta Zotel HaAdam HaRuchani, HaTarbuti VaHagufani. Here is this natural, this naturalism for a person's spirituality, cultural aspects, and even physical aspects. And it's just healthier for a Jew to be in Eretz Yisrael. La'aretz yesh kesher la'adam b'ofen gizi, torashti. Person has, a Jewish person has a connection, b'ofen gizi, geza means a root, right? Torashti, morasha, inheritance, or yerusha. Samati hagderazel shel rofe psychiater, psychiatrist. He's an intellectual man who had no connection to Dakiyim Alumi, nothing international, nothing national, nothing religious. He was just saying his psychological opinion. Who am I for Russia? He said it explicitly. Even if generations and years passed, how organism, the limbs, habivnesha ha'adam, v'achelek ha'psychophysiologi, that's like a rough word, right, the psychophysiological aspect of man, shayachim lekan. Right, the Jewish person belongs here, the shivazah, this environment, la'achlim hazeh, this climate, la'atlishut, and being uprooted by hitnatkut b'meshach me'ot shanim yoter, even 100 years of separation, gomim matzav lo normali. Right, causes a natural situation,
abnormal.
And it also continues to afflict us, meaning when a person, he says, when the Jewish people are uprooted from their land, like take a fish, take him out of water, right? He can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him out for long enough, even when you put him back in the water,
he's dead.
Well, hopefully he's not dead. So you brought him to the brink, and then you put him back in the water. Does he just swim away normally, like you would right away?
Yeah.
Right. And the greater the damage,
mm-hmm.
right? The more difficult it's going to be to reacclimate. So he's saying that's what he's saying. He's saying we are still feeling, and it's interesting to think about it this way. We're still feeling, probably, I'm sure, 60 years later, we're still feeling the after effects of Gullus. Right. And being in a healthy place. It's like you 9/11 workers, right? You ever get a damage for that stuff? Never? You ever had any funny side effects? They say that the dust was very, very dangerous, the guys who work with, right?
The people who are there for a prolonged amount of time.
Right. So you go now you go to Arizona in the dry air, right? How long does a person need to breathe the dry air in order to get rid of the... Sometimes
when
it's not possible.
When they say smoking in lungs, 10 or 12, 15 years?
At least 5 years.
At least 5 years? Can you ever get back to normal? Not
if you damage your lungs, but if they just...
Right. I mean, 5 years after you quit smoking, you're at the same risk of everybody else.
Really?
Heart disease and things like that. But the underlying lung damage that you gave yourself for, let's say, emphysema, that you got.
You can't get rid of it. Kodam Nidgashim Krakim Aleph Ben Gimel. We met, this is where in chapter 4, so we up until this point met chapters 1, 2, and 3. Prakim Aleph Bet Hini Malachad. So chapters 1 and 2 are one thing. Abitur Rishon Shaper Gimel Hu Yitzira Atzmi Yisraeli. An individual Jewish creation. An independent Jewish creation. Yuchedet. Yitzira B'machshava. It's a creation in thought. Or Yitzira B'chayim. A creation in life. B'tokef HaChayim. The power and the vitality of life. Agam Yitzira B'mifal. Even something practical, a creation. L'chol Eile B'shamesh Tamila Yitzira. For all these things, we use the word creation. Shehi normali Yuchel Yisrael. Okay, that's normal for Israel. The Jewish creativity, remember he said many times, Jewish creativity is most productive, most creative in Eretz Yisrael. Al kach yesh shefa shel mamrei chazal, she's kind of come upon me. So therefore, that's why there are so many, you know, quotes of Chazal that we said, Torah shel Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvot shel Eretz Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim shel Eretz Yisrael, Lamdanut shel Eretz Yisrael. Right? The rabbis talk over and over and over and over and over again about how the Jewish people, God, our creativity, our vitality, our nationality, all those things belong in Eretz Yisrael. All these belong to the general. We're going to say the general, the Jewish people, the nation as a whole. So if you want, are you interested in the footnote number 6? Because he quotes a Gemara. Yeah. So if you look at footnote number 6. It's an interesting footnote. So Gemara says, Yati Rabbi Achia bar Abba Rabbi Ashi, Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, Achia and Rabbi Ashi, sitting Rabbi Yochanan. Yati Rabbi Yochanan, become a nominee. Rabbi Yochanan is an old man, and he's kind of like nodding off. He says, why are the scholars in Bavra mitsuyanim? You know what I'm saying?
Exceptional.
How are they exceptional? It means they dress. Why do they dress so nicely? You know, how come they're so good looking? So the answer they gave was because they're not b'nei Torah. Because when you are, and I think this is
involved in other pursuits.
Right. When you are involved in religious, spiritual things, you're just not interested in other things, right? But the Bachelor and Chaim Berlin are, walking past the Shadel stores. Why?
Oh, I would take that father's shoes.
What? Just the Shiva. I didn't say it. I did it. So eat our Behu, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, like, woke up, and he started yelling at him, Mamalu, Dariki, you children! Lo kach, amad yelachem, and more lachach, ma achoti ak. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. Right, if you're so sure of something that like you're sure that you're not allowed to live with your sister, then you can say it. But if not, don't say anything. So that she says, why are you criticizing the rabbis in Babylonia for being, fancy pants? Right? And maybe you're not right. So Amrullah, they said to him, you tell us it's an empirical fact. Look at the guys coming from, New York, right? They're all with their iPods and their laptops and their Borsellinos, right? And the Bachum were living in Ashdod. They could care less about these things. Why is that? He says, why are they mitsuyanim? Fancy. If you say any b'nei makoman, because they're not in the wrong place. Amre itse b'mata shamai below mata totvai. Right? So meaning they're not in the right place. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. It's not that they are not b'nei Torah. That's insulting. But they're not in the right place. So if you explain, one second. He says the following: Habayim Yisharesh Yaakov Yatzitzu Parach Yisrael. Tani Rabbi Yosef, every time you come and say B'Bavel She'osim Tzitzin Uprachim LaTorah. They make tzitz is like breastplates and flowers of the Torah. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef, so Mitra says, B'tzoncha Lirot Shechina Ba'olam Hazeh. You want to see God in this world? Asok B'Torah Be'Eretz Yisrael. Mitoch kedushat Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Israel. Ain Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. Right? There's no Torah like the Torah of Israel. Everybody agrees with this. B'havana with understanding. B'hara'a miyuchad in a special light. Orot haTorah, the light of the Torah, who machshir miyuchad b'kach. Right? It's the book of what?
It prepares.
Right. Anu nashim muchsharim b'shmoa Torah Eretz Torah emet shel Torah Yisrael. We are muhsharim, prepared or ready,
right,
to hear the Torah of the truth of Israel. The Hirut Hasechel BeHadat. And Alzen, based on that, Yesh Haftacha Elohit Nesiyata Dishmaya, and Ketorah Ketorah to Eretz Yisrael. So he says a number of different ways. And this is not Kabbalah. This is not mysticism. This is not esoterica. This is not Rav Kook speaking in broad generalities. We have no idea what he's talking about. Chazal said it numerous and varied times. That a person who studies Torah in Israel will study, there's no better way, no better place, no better environment to study Torah and to grow in Torah and to grow connected to God. Right?
Was it for a lack of materialistic in pursuits?
You couldn't say that, because then it wouldn't matter if you're in Utah. As long as you're just not materialistic and don't turn on the TV. I would agree that in America...
It's a lot harder to... You can say that, but it's harder to actually implement.
What do you mean?
To say, you know,
keep
Irish from things.
But they don't talk... I mean, but it's an objective reality. You know what I'm saying? It's not a question of distraction or detail or problem. It's just fact. Something that Chazal took for granted. Okay. Go back to 95 for a second. The last three words on the line are 95. That's the general rule. Right? Remember, he explained, why does Gullus happen? Right? You know, the flow, the negative flow, the infective flow, etc. And that's an abnormal situation in the communal understanding, klali, general, history, the umi, historical, national, the yesodi mode, very fundamental. Yesh makom l'anech she'oto divrei oto rofe mitgalim b'ofen individuali b'chol achad v'chad mikan. He says, if as a nation, think about it, as a group, as a nation, Israel's our place. But if it's true for the group, then it's also good, true for the individuals as well. Kol adam b'Yisrael she'yach l'chadzbon hazeh. Every Jewish person has a relevance to this idea. Mitov kach, itachno kama matzavim shel ikubim. The disharmonia biglav halona maliotazo. So very often a person might have situations of distractions or problems and lack of harmony because of this problem. See, that's the trick, though.
He's working it backwards, though. So because the klal leads it to the individual.
Of course.
I would say the klal as a whole does, but there might be exceptions. If you're going to say all the individuals need it, then for surely the klal needs it.
The doctor was complaining to me today.
Mm-hmm.
We were speaking about the... How should we say, the broader from community and the onward swing to the right. And he says, he was commenting to me about how people from across the broad spectrum of the community are, you know, they don't hesitate to call him and ask him his opinion. And he's very happy to answer them and help them out. And he said, but it always strikes him as interesting that if their children would want to go to school to become a doctor like him,
they would
at the very least strongly discourage it. And he said, how do you expect to have doctors for the next generation if nobody wants their children to be the doctor? You understand what I'm saying? It's a rule, a broad-based rule. Not everybody should be a doctor. But if nobody can be a doctor,
right,
then you won't have any doctors. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're saying there might be exceptions. I think in general, if a general rule applies, unless you know that there are exceptions, then why would you assume there should be? Why would there be
no ironclad rule that a person can make?
Chazal said it in broad generalities. He said if Chazal said it about everyone, then it should apply to each individual person too.
So we see that.
Do you think there's a person that wouldn't learn better in Eretz Yisrael that would learn better in Utah? Do you think that there are exceptions to that rule? In the abstract.
In the abstract.
Yeah. Take anyone.
Any person. Give him the same Rebbe there or here.
Yes.
He will, no, then it's not the place.
There you go. That's the answer.
That's right.
Okay. Right. That's the answer. Applies to everyone.
Maybe be a couple that would do better.
Why?
Are you talking physiological reasons? Because he needs that place.
Same climate. All things are the same.
Because
climate control,
bell-shaped distribution of everything. So there's always people that are
right. But this is not a bell-shaped distribution. This is a spiritual axiom that of closest to God, right, occurs better in Israel than it does outside of Israel.
He's positing that all things being equal, things are not equal.
I understand what he's saying.
Right. So that means that for everyone along the bell curve, the bell curve should be slightly elevated, or however much elevated, in a better environment.
But even if you're shifted three standard deviations to the right, there's always going to be a couple of people there.
I understand what you're saying statistically, but this isn't a statistical argument. You understand what I'm saying?
This is a finite argument.
Yeah.
it's very specific to Eretz Yisrael,
mm-hmm.
that it does not go with the mold of the rest of the places.
You're saying, see, it's an impossible theory to posit, because even if the person does worse, and there are people that do worse in Utah, right, and there would be no way to know how they would do when you put them in Israel.
Right, so even if you, from a practical standpoint, if you were to do a study, okay, and let's say you would show that the people in Israel learn better than the people in Utah,
right,
when taken as a group. But each group will have outliers. So statistically, the ones in Israel still did better than the ones in Utah.
I think the Gemara would argue differently and say
there will be outliers. Everybody bar none will be in that group.
Right. Everybody will do better in Israel.
But there's always outliers.
Oh, so
now what if you double blinded? That they didn't know where they were. You understand? Take human nature out of the equation. You blindfold the guy, you fly him around the world, he doesn't know if he's in Israel.
Great studies.
He doesn't know if he's in Israel or in Utah.
Correct. So, and the group that was initial didn't even know that they were there,
right,
did better than the group that was in Utah.
Now, Cook would argue that each individual person would always do better in Israel than Utah. It's impossible to prove.
Right, but each individual person is only in one group or the other.
Correct. So that's why it's impossible to prove. You can prove it as a group, but you can't prove it as an individual. But he would say it's true for the group, it's true for the individual as well. I'm sure he would say it. Okay. Mitokah anu magi'im leprakim dalehem bas. So now we come to the next three chapters. We learned the first three chapters, and we learned the last three chapters. Ulam gan leprakim she'acharkach, also the chapters, abal acharkach yesh noshim yuchadim gan leprakim yekashim yoter. And he said after chapters 5, 6, and 7, 4, 5, and 6, it gets harder. Right, as if you understood what he was talking about until now. Okay, Shalosai leYachasi Kalim. These three chapters are relatively easy, and they are easy. They're not hard to understand. You know, we read the words about Trump. The words are not hard to understand.
But how he comes to them.
Forget how he comes to them. What heck he's talking about is hard to understand. You know what I'm saying? Somehow he has a way of saying something in such a roundabout way that you can't get your hands on it. It's not a concrete idea. It's an abstraction. You know what I'm saying? Like you can perceive what he's trying to get at, but to lock him down, he's very unlockable. It's very hard to really get a good hold on what in the world is he trying to tell you.
So were these the abstracts from the different chapters?
No, those are the actual. This is Orot from Rukka. It's the actual.
So the actual chapter was only this one paragraph.
Yes, that's the chapter. They were short.
Okay.
Well, you see, some are longer and some are shorter. There's no abstracts. This is a much longer one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
It was a quintress, not a long say.
Rabbinic poetry, in a sense. Okay. Hatzara Saresh B'chol HaPakim Ha'ilad Al HaYibav, the common denominator among all of them, who had gasha ishit, an individual, a personal emphasis. Anachnu Sayachim L'Klal Yisrael, we are connected to, we are related to Klal Yisrael. L'chein HaTorashash V'Agezah Shalom Sayachim L'Makom Hazah. Our connectivity, our roots, our foundation is in this place. When he says Makom Hazeh, he's in Israel, right? Laharim u'gvaot ha'ila, to these mountains, these valleys. Am ha'nevuah, sayach alad mat ha'nevuah, the nation of prophecy, is relevant to the land of prophecy. U'mitokach, and since this is true, kol achad mitzvah, yesh lachem shech shleimu, tibiyut u'briyut, then if it's true for the group, then each individual who also has a connectivity, a natural health, greater in Israel. It's lorak, not in the spiritual, elagam betokef hachayim v'hamifal, in the broadness of the productivity of life. He's saying a Jew just does better in Eretz Yisrael. Is more productive, is more fruitful. You know, it'd be hard to empirically prove. You know, because you're using factors that are not
quantifiable.
Not quantifiable, not controllable. Okay? So either you accept it or you don't. Ata. And now, through these fundamental principles, is revealed the natural health of this man of Israel. Before the natural completeness in the spiritual sense. There's a phrase in Hebrew, an expression in our language, there's a phrase that describes a person who's good. You know, how are you? You know, how would you describe it? So he says the phrase is hu shalem im atzmo. He is whole with himself. Right? A person is shalem, whole with himself. He's physically well, he's emotionally well, and he's spiritually well. He has a sense of shlemus, of completion.
Right.
Sometimes a person is not so great. He has complications from a spiritual or ethical aspect. This is the content of chapter 4. Are you complete with yourself? Are you whole? Or are you not? And on average, or as a rule, right? If you want to be whole,
be in Israel.
You have to be in Israel. That's just the way it is. Okay. Because that's where you belong. That's where you grow properly. And if we put you outside of your natural growth place, so you'll grow, but it won't be so great. You know, in any number of different ways. Okay. So as we said before, the Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is relevant to the land of Israel. And if that's true, Kol Adam Yisrael, Kol Acham Itanu, any person in Israel, any one of us, right, is the same as true. So that's why he's saying, Rav Kook said, E'ashar la'adam Yisrael she'am asur b'nei eman. It's impossible for a man of Israel to be masur, given over, and reliable, she'am bari, for him to be healthy, TV, natural, shalem, complete, bal hagashah b'tova, feeling good, shalom b'mkomo. Never had that, you know, like, some people like this, I'm like this. When you get to a new place, you have a sense of unease. You probably don't have this much because you like hiking and outdoorsiness. So you like new places better. For me, like, you know, like when I go, even to like when I went on vacation this summer, I'm in this beautiful house on a lake, and just for the first couple of hours, I felt this sort of...
I actually, it's the opposite by me. But there's always a adjustment period.
Right.
Like when I was in Seattle for those few days. By the time you're there a couple of days, you're into that. You're into the swing of things, and you know where the restaurant is now, and
right.
You know all this stuff is.
And then you notice after a certain point, you feel like I got to get back to my regular schedule. You know,
No, I just
do whatever I want. There's a certain point now in me that has changed. That after a certain point,
I tell you what it is.
I feel that the vacation's over.
Tell you what it is.
I want to get back to
girl.
Thank you.
I need my own armchair. I don't like this chair anymore. No, I mean, so, but this idea, meaning you have that sense of discomfort that you don't belong.
Doctor, is there a cure?
You don't want to be on vacation longer.
Yes. There's a sense of discomfort that I don't belong in this place. This is not my place. So he says Jews inherently, I think, have that sense of discomfort when you're not in Israel. You just don't belong. The trick, though, is, and this is always the problem, if you're raised here,
that's what it is.
How would you even know?
Right.
You know, and that's, I find that when I go to Israel, the last two times I went to Israel, it's been very short visits. And I've always had that sense of, like, you know, discombobulation until the end of the week.
Yes, whirlwind.
Right, and then when you're, like, finally settling in, then, of course, what do we do?
Gotta go back.
Go home, right, you know, like, go back. But... you know, you have to give yourself time to adjust. So because you don't realize, like, how things are off. You know, it's almost like when you go to the wrong school or you're in the wrong job. Right? You're at the wrong job. If it's the only job you ever had, how would you know it's the wrong job? Maybe all jobs are like that.
Right.
Until you finally come to another job.
And then you have a comparison.
Right. It's like a kid who, like, he didn't have glasses. And all of a sudden you give him glasses and he's like, oh my God, the world is supposed to be clear.
Well, that is clear. I was thought clear and impossible.
Yeah. I mean, who knew? Maybe everybody sees this way.
Right.
So you probably wouldn't like to go on an extended RV trip where you travel somewhere day to day.
I don't like living out of a suitcase
for
like
weeks
that.
Out of a time.
No. Okay. You enjoyed it. Although I get a sense that your wife did not enjoy it as much.
That's probably true.
Okay. Achakach, I'm in the third line in chapter 2, section 2. Ha'ayyan mista'if yateh, but of psychologi physiologi, mista'if, si'if, it becomes, I don't know what that word means, mista'if, I have to look it up. Avakodem mitmarech ha'ari ruchani shel adam. I think he says it comes clearer in a psychological and physiological way, but first in a religious way. Yesh ha'chokrim shemot yedafim. There are chokrim, they devise, scholar, they divine or come out with different names. So Rav Kook describes four states in the spiritual aspect of a person. Mashavot, thoughts, Hegyonod, what does the defined Hegyonod are?
Hegyon may be lefanecha.
He mentions that, very good, but he mentions another way. Rayonot. Rayon.
A rayon is an idea.
Ideas. Dimyonot.
An example.
No, dimyon are...
Oh, dimyon is something that appears.
Imagination. Right. Dreams. Right? Imagination. Yishal Adam Yisrael, this is the Rav Kook. It's impossible for a Jew, via Masur v'Ne'aman, to have to be healthy and fully developed the machshavotav, his thoughts, his hegyonot, his rayonot, his ideas and his imagination. They're all connected. Unless we can destroy it, so he's going to describe what's going to between all of those things. Hatochen haruchani ayoter shalem, right? The spiritual content that's most complete. Hayoter baruch aladam hu hamachshava. Like the most complete clarity of a person is his thought. Chishuv, chashiva, right, compilation, thinking. Melechet machshavet. And melechet machshavet is something that has been devised, thought through.
Premeditated.
Hachad ha-intellectuali shal ha-adam.
Right.
Intellectual side of the man. B'sheichel, b'dat, b'hakara, b'havana. Right, his logic, his knowledge, his recognition, his understanding. It expresses itself in the person's thought. So what's thought?
The conscious mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's the use of your brain to come to conclusions, to arrive at decisions, to calculate. Okay? Imorim, Adam Zeu, Ibn Machshavah. If you say this person is a man of thinking, man. Adam Choshev Machshavah, he's a thinker. You don't have to explain. He's an intellectual person. So that's his thinking, man. You're a thinking person. A person uses his thinking. Machshava sheyach al intelligentsia, chishuv. You are machshava. What's machshava? Person's intelligence, his clarification, his thinking. So it says, Rav Kook, your thought process, your ability to deduce, your ability to clarify, your ability to come to conclusions, to derive, is better in Eretz Yisrael than it is here. Right? You'd be a better doctor. You'd sell more real estate. You get better deals in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, nobody want to buy from you, but there's another...
You get the least of the real estate. You can actually...
Oh, did you hear, doctors? 60 grand to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What? Real estate?
60.
Yeah, apparently no, but doctor wants to actually practice in Israel because they don't make any money. So they lost a lot of doctors. So Nefesh B'Nefesh is offering a package of up to 60 grand for any doctor who moves to Israel. I don't know, wrong field. Maybe
how long, and how long does the person have to stay there? 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, you have to make aliyah. They're not going to lock you down, I guess. Although the 60 grand, I'll load it on RP. Okay. Hamilah Ashmiya, the second word, higayon, we have to try to understand what it's talking about. But I'm not, well, we'll have to do this together, because I'm not entirely sure what he's getting at. But there were achonim karim higayon, the intelligentsia madait, kalama logica. They used to, in later generations, they called higayon, right?
Logic.
Scientific knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Logic, right. But scientific knowledge. Zatara madait sechlis alanam. And then refers to, in the later, like higayon, is your intellectual sechil, understanding of a human being. Hamadashin ikrach shah beivrit higayon, right? The science today called logic higayon. Eno madakilatzmo. It's not science for itself. Ela mada shel mada. What we would call meta-knowledge. Knowledge about knowledge. Is that that's the correct term, right? Meta-knowledge? Right? It's the study of studying.
A compilation of other studies.
Yes. Nituach ubirur shel mahalach havana. The nituach means the dissection and clarification of the process of understanding. That's higayon. Right? Higayon, it's not like my like how does this, you know, where does the water in the cup go and understanding the CO2 content and all that. Higayon is understanding how do I understand? Right? How am I able to comprehend and intellectualize this fact, which is a much more abstract way of thinking than direct thought or logic or process or compilation. Right? It's much more abstract. Okay? This understanding, you can distinguish between thinking and higayon. Right? You're studying the existence of God. Right? So that's the study, right? What are you trying to understand? But this idea of higayon, in the understanding of logic, that's not the idea does not exist, doesn't he? Did he split the sea? Didn't he split the sea? Ela yesh tikul ba'ofen ha'machshava. Rather, higayon is understanding, how am I supposed to, how is it that I'm able to comprehend or understand God? Mm-hmm. But ma'alach ha'machshava, the process of thinking, b'derech birur nosei ha'machshava, in the path or the way of clarifying the topics of thought. Kivan shalom yidubar b'chomer ha'sikhi ha'machshavi. So since we're not talking about the actual material, yesh machon l'chalek l'metech, so you can divide up. Ma'achshava yichola liyot b'rura, a thought, can be clear. Great thoughts. Great thoughts are very clear. I'm trying to figure out the physics, the gravity, the whatever. I'm trying to understand a Gemara. It's very clear. It's very concrete. Mm-hmm. But what is higayon? Higayon is different. Higayon is dibur odot ha-machshava. It's speaking about the thought. Advar ha-koach ha-sichli. About the notion of the power of logic. Thinking, thought, is simple, bari, healthy, sikhli, logical. That make possible, right, understanding things in an intellectual way. But higayon is more of a broader understanding, a greater comprehension. I would say that thinking, right, machshava is the specific. I think that's what he's trying to get at. Right. But higayon is when you try to sort of lose the trees and get a sense holistic. Of the forest. What?
A holistic approach.
Yeah, in a sense, it's the ability to really look at
the entirety of rather than the individual components.
Correct. And it's not about thinking about it in a specific way. I mean, I think. What he's really getting at is, like, when we're studying this stuff from Rav Kook, it's not like, you know, it's not Machshava. Explain to me how it is that Eretz Yisrael, like, makes you smarter. I can't. Right? But when I try to think about all the aspects that I know about Eretz Yisrael and all the things that the rabbis have told me, I'm going to come to a broader picture, a greater understanding of what Israel is all about. That's not concrete,
right?
But still it's a comprehension. It's a higayon. Okay, so that's what higayon is. Before bitur higayon, but also mikra makarog. When we looked in Tanakh for this word, mafkisha tanu b'merchav or b'ma'amach me'avar l'muvan asurchi apashut b'berur. It's a you meet a broadening or a deepening me'aver more than this the understanding of simple comprehension. Kamuvan gamal logika u'divar sichli. Logic is also something intellectual higuni. Aval hial odot b'reid varim. It's specific. Higayon is more broad, is more net, is more nuanced, but also more general. This yields with us an essay. This is what you said in the end of the essay. We say, "Yiratzon be'fi behegyoni be the fanecha." Yiratzon imei pi behegyoni be. So I say, right when I dive into God, I say imei pi. I'm asking for certain things, but in my heart, hegyoni be. My heart has a broader connection to God, a broader request, things that I don't ask for. But hegyoni bi, but my heart is yearning for. Yudashim ima bitur, you read this phrase, higayon leif. Sheyesh lafchin beino levin machshava, it's in between it and thought. Machshava pshutav sikhli, simple understanding. Ulai anachni nifkashim be'eze mida b'yachas bein alev v'amoa shel adam. Maybe you're talking about the difference between the heart and the brain. Right? Brain, I understand. Right? I understand this idea, I concretize it.
Calculate
and
logic.
Hamoa halavavi, but the brain of the heart, who yoter ruchani klali, it's more broadly spiritual, yoter chiyuni klali, more alive, more broad, mesha hamoa chasichli intellectuality. Right? It's a perception, it's a thought, it's a... Remember we're talking about, did I give you that book, Blink, that you never got that?
Yes, yeah, if you did, thank you.
So he talks about that. This idea of a person gaining a certain... like an instinct, a broader understanding that you can't connect to any one thought. Remember we talked about this once? We talked about this like in the emergency room.
Like experience in the life.
Right, but it's the collection of your broader experience.
Right. You can't peg it down as to why, but you have just a total understanding.
Right. That this it's is not that right. You can say, I know this, this, and this, and that. But it's higayon.
Everything fits right.
Right. It's a general sense. It's what he calls it. It's a very beautiful idea. The moach halavavi. It's the brain of the heart. In a sense. A very powerful idea. The Mahalach Mimneot Yod Vamidim Safasulano in the building of the letters and words of our language, Lashon HaKodesh, Yesod HaPol Shal Hei Gimel Higayon Had Megagel Altanu Gamu Masavim Acharin Adame. It takes us to other places. Yesh HaMitzach Shafim VaMahagihim in Yishayahu. Mitzach Shafim VaMahagihim. You look up that first?
Saf and Shafim.
Kibituin Shal Gnai VizYulZul. It's negative. Okay, contrast Lumach Mashavah, the opposite of thought. Yesh HaBitui Hago. Hago, like hege. Muvan shal tzivtzuf ba'alei chayim. It's like the chattering.
Yeah, whistling.
Right. Kegalim mekayonim hago nehege. Like the dogs are twittering. Al kopanim, yizalim shanim anafazim alota avchana shal higayon umach maslo. We always get back to this idea of higayon. Right? Comprehension, understanding, as opposed to thought. Yishadchim bein madregot mechaniyot. It says, again, just to repeat, very interesting idea, but he says, Rav Kook says, that a Jew's thoughts, understanding, logic is different in Eretz Yisrael, and also that thought of the heart, your broader understanding, your general ability to comprehend is greater in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Haaretz. Why? Because that's where we breathe, that's our natural place. All right, we'll continue and see.